anyway, I love family. I love family. And I think that one of the things sometimes as Christians, we try and do the big things so much. We try and, like, you know, do amazing things. We want to, like, have amazing services. We want to, you know, lay hands on the sick and watch them healed and all that. And that's all really, really important. But Christianity begins in the home. Christianity begins in the home. How we live our life in the home really is the start of all good things, really. And as we have our families, some of you are, you know, grandparents and your kids are, you know, grown and you have grandkids, and some of you might even have some great grandkids. I know Harold has great or great great. You have great grandchildren, but do you have great great grandchildren? Great. But, like, the tendency is when we're talking about family, some of you are going to sit back and say, well, I already did my family thing. But family's never finished until you go home, right? So, really, this series is going to be about family. It's going to be about your relationship with each other. It's going to be about your relationship with God. It's going to be about your relationship with your kids. And I really believe God's given Christine and I some great wisdom, really, as we've raised our family and, as you know, over doing youth for so many years and working with families and kids and things like that. So we really have, I think, a lot to say that will help. I really think this is a good series if you want to invite people out to church. It'll be a really practical, helpful series. I'm going to do Christine's in kids' church every other week. And then, so then on those weeks, you just get to listen to me. And on the other weeks, I'm going to put my job on the line and let my wife talk to you too. And she's really good, so you're going to enjoy that. Last Mother's Day, we had her, and she was awesome. Anyway, I really want to help you to raise good families, to have good families, to enjoy your family, and to have God be the center of it. And so this week, I've had the chance to do pre-marriage or marriage counseling with, like, two different couples. And so it's really a lot of what they might have heard already, what I have to say, because I really... Everything starts at the beginning, but, like, if you're here today and you say, like this is the challenge, right? Like, we hear God's word, and we oftentimes we feel like maybe we didn't do it right, and there's nothing we could do about it now, right? I've sat with parents who, you know, realizing when their kids are in their mid-teens that they really kind of drop the ball, and they say, well, I don't know what to do now. Well, the best thing to do is whenever you feel like you've dropped the ball, just don't get mad, don't get depressed, but just get before God and just say, God, I repent. I didn't do what I should have done. I can't rewind, so I'm trusting you to forgive me, and I need your help. And then to sit down with your kids and say, hey, I let you down. I didn't do it right, but I want to do it right from now on. Let me tell you what I did wrong, and let's talk about what we're going to do in the future. Right? So, like, we had situations growing up with the kids, especially, like, when, like, I've told the story before, but it's been a long time, so some of it will be new, maybe not all. But I remember when we bought this freezer. It was a used freezer, and I went to pick it up, you know? And we, you know, the kids played in the basement. Our basement was unfinished, but the kids played down there. And a lot of times, you know, like, how it is when your basement's just a storage area, the steps become shelves instead of storage, right? So... I'm like, Christine, I'm going to go down and get this freezer. I'll be back in half an hour, right? So I get back, and our house has stairs out front, like, so about 8 stairs out the front, and then 13 stairs into the basement. So I'm dragging this freezer up on this dolly up the stairs, and then I go right down the stairs, and I get about halfway down the stairs, and I start running into the stuff on the stairs. And I'm like, and I lost it, right, being a good Dutchman and being as calm as could be in all situations, I lost it. And I said some nasty things to Christine about, you know, you knew I was going to get the freezer. Why don't you do what you're supposed to do, right? And I hurt her feelings, and I hurt the kids' feelings, I imagine. And then I was, like, really convicted about, you know, after I got about 3/4 of the way down the stairs and my rambling and my mouthing off and my, and I went to Christine and I said, honey, I'm so sorry. That was wrong. I shouldn't talk to you that way. And then I took the boys on my knee one at a time. They were probably about 2 or 3 years, 2 and 4 years old or something like that at the time. And I said, how I treated your mother was wrong. I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? So there's always an opportunity, no matter where in life, to repent. It doesn't make you a worse person for it. It actually makes you a better person. Whenever you realize that you've sinned and you can admit that you've done wrong and you repent, it's really good for you and for your family. And so we need to keep growing. We need to keep, you know, at it. We need to keep growing stronger as a family. Christine and I have been married 26 years, coming up in a couple weeks. And there's been one thing we struggle with a lot in our marriage. And at some point, maybe two or three times a year, we'll hit that thing and we'll get upset with each other and we'll hurt each other and I'll be mad and upset and frustrated because she doesn't understand me, and she'll be mad and upset and frustrated because I don't understand her. And so, like, finally, about a few months ago, we figured out what that was. And we decided to stop it. And things are going really good. Because now we just kept working at it. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's easy to throw up your hands as a married couple or as a parent and just say, I can't do it. But I'm just telling you, keep fighting for your family. Keep fighting for your marriage. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep believing God that things can get better, because they can. Right? I know this, that we need to think out further. I think one of the biggest things wrong with our culture is we live in the moment. So, you know, like, I like going to timeshare meetings when we're on holidays. Just because I can usually now, I've learned you can negotiate the deal, right? So I usually can get up $200 or $300 now for me going to a timeshare meeting. But Christine hates timeshare meetings. You know, I don't want to buy a timeshare. I just want the gift, right? But when you go to the timeshare meeting, they want a decision and they want it now. And we'll say, well, we budget, so we can't just make that decision right now. We need to, you know, think about it and see if it's in our budget. And we really don't want it anyway, but, you know, like, maybe we can give us the material and we'll decide later. And they're like, no, you got to decide today. And I've seen many people sign up for these timeshares and figure out 2 years later when they can't afford to go where they're supposed to go and they still got to pay the, you know, service fee every year. They realize it was a bad idea, right? Because they were in the moment. They thought, well, yeah, our vacation dollars, and yeah, we need to go on more vacations with our kids, and yeah, we need to do this, and yeah, and we're all excited because, like, look at this place. It's gorgeous, and we can, like, we're going to live like kings, right? But they didn't think ahead, right, to say, what's this decision going to look like in 6 months? What's this decision going to look like in a year? What's this decision going to look like in 10 years? Right? And we do that a lot of times with our families, dads especially. Right? The mom is in the home trying to correct the kids. We're tired after a long day's work. And now I know women are tired after a long day's work now, too, because women are working. But men still like their old role, right? Get home, get in the chair, sit down, relax, and let mom take care of it. And so the kids are misbehaving. You hear them, but you sit in the chair and you don't do anything. And you think, well, it'll take care of itself. And then 5 years later, your kids won't listen to a word you said. And you're wondering why. Well, you need to decide in that moment to get up and do something about it. Because if you get up and do something about it, if you get up and take care of your family, if you get up and take care of the kids, then things would turn out differently. But you have to look down the road. Because right in that moment, you're tired. You want to sit in your chair. You want to enjoy that. Right? For people who, you know, have a hard time keeping their house clean, right? You get home, you're tired, the house is a little bit of a mess, and you say, well, I'm just going to leave it like that for today. Tomorrow I'll look after it, right? And then the next day, well, tomorrow I'm going to look after it. And the next day, tomorrow I'm going to look after it. And that decision to just live in the moment and just enjoy the moment, say, I'm tired, I want to take, all of a sudden your house is like this horrible mess. And it's going to take like weeks and weeks to get it cleaned up. And you don't even know where to start. And then you're frustrated. All these decisions that we make as families, right? Or you're going to spend money, right? Because you want to buy that new car, right? You're frustrated. Your car broke down again today. It's not going good, right? So you left the lights on and the battery's dead and you're frustrated because your car won't start. And then you decide, well, that's it. I'm done with it. I got to buy a new car, right? But you don't think down the road and say, well, can we really afford this new car? And we say, oh, well, I need it. I need it today. And so you go make a decision that isn't really well planned out for the future. So like everything that we need to do, I believe this with all my heart, is we need to take a step back and ask ourselves this question, what's this decision going to look like in 6 months? You know, like when your kid's a year and a half old or a year old and they're looking at you and they're smiling and they're so cute and they're disobeying everything you say. And you go, but yeah, but they're cute. And then when they're 10, you're like, they're hellions. Right? Because you decided not to do anything in the moment to train your child. All these things, you know, we need to think about. We need to plan. So here's the deal. We look at life, a lot of times, we look at the day before ahead of us and we say, well, today, I'm just going to do what's easier. Anybody ever do that? I'm just going to do what's easy today. I'm just going to do what fits today. And so we take this short-sighted approach to life. So I like cutting my grass, and I like my grass to look good. So this year I'm not a happy man, right? My lawn looks, it's horrible because I got stuck in it about 8 times on Friday, and it's a mess. Like, in half of it's like this tall. It's awful, right? But generally my lawn looks nice. I like straight lines. I like, you know, cutting angles. I like cutting the angle the other way. But like what I've learned in life, the only way to make a straight line is to look out down to the end of the row. So, like, I'd be looking at that black panel at the end of my lawn right there. So, like, a tree, I'd pick a tree, and I would drive. I would just focus on that tree. I wouldn't look at anything. If you walked or crawled in front of my lawn tractor, you're a dead person because I'm hitting that tree, and I'm going for it, and I'm going to get a straight line, right, because I'm looking up. But if you just look down, you might look up once in a while, and you just follow your wheels, and you're going to be all over the place, right? So what we need to do as people is to pick a mark out there somewhere and start going for it and start planning toward it. And the Bible, you know, is really clear on a lot of these things. In Philippians 3, Paul is talking and he says this in verse 12. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong, but by no means do I count myself an expert in all this. But I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running and I'm in the right. I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything that God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision and you'll see it. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. So Paul's talking about, like, so I've got my eye on the goal. He's talking about keeping focused and going for everything God has for you. And I want to say to you, go for everything God has for you and for your family. Go for everything that God has for you and for your family. We don't live randomly as believers. We live with our eyes on God's kingdom. We want God's kingdom to come in the earth. Like Jeremiah said, God's kingdom come. His will be done on the earth. That's what we want as believers. So we want our families to bring glory to God and to His kingdom. We want our families to be a light to the world. That's what we want. And so, get your eyes focused on everything God has for you and don't get distracted by other things. I know this with raising our family. It was really easy for me to get my eyes off the goal sometimes. Sometimes you just got excited about something that didn't really matter. And you started going after that instead of after what God has for you and your family. And it hurt. It hurts the family. So keep yourself focused. We need to take a long view on the decisions we make so that we don't make short-sighted mistakes. We really need to look at our lives. And I'd say this, husbands, right? Because when we talk about marriage, it says husbands are the head of the house, right? That we're the ones who have to really serve the hardest. We're the ones who are supposed to be taking care of the family the most. We're the ones who really, you know, we're supposed to be responsible for our families. So we need to figure out exactly, and the wives are important in this too. I'm not saying that the wife isn't important. The wife is really important. But I'm saying if the conversation isn't happening, men get the conversation happening. We need to start thinking about what we want our family to say. What is it that our family needs to look like? Where is our family going? And what is our family all about? What do we want when my life ends? What do I want, like, our family life to say about who I was and what we did? I really think it's important that we think long term. I think a lot of times we miss out on a lot of what God has for us because we just live in the moment. I think it's really important for us to take a long view. We need to think about our lives and what we want them to say when our life here is over. We need to develop a set of values that will help us carry out our goals. We need to plan. We need to listen to God and hear what God has to say about our family. Now, you can listen to God and hear Him because He does speak to us today, but His Word is really, really clear on what family should be like. His Word is really, really clear about how family should operate, about what our lives should be like. So you could just take your Bible and figure out what your plan for your family is. You might have to work at it a bit. You might have to study a bit. You might have to read a bit. You might have to research a bit. But you could figure out what God's plan for your family is. But you could listen too. Because He does have a plan. God's plan for our family was ministry. Like, Christine and I both have a heart for ministry. So that was a big part of our call, right? We didn't start out as pastors. We didn't really have that in our plans to start, but we just wanted to serve God with all our heart. We just wanted God to be able to use us however He wanted to use us. So we just kept our hearts really wide open. So when I was away on holidays, right, this past 2 weeks ago, I like holidays because my mind can slow down and I can hear and I can listen and I can think. So we were on holidays and I was thinking about life. I'm going to be 55 this year. I know I only look 40, but I'm actually going to be 55 this year. And so when you're 40, you don't really think about, you know, later life. But when you're 55, you start thinking about it a little bit more, right? So I'm thinking about, well, you know, how long should I work until I retire? Like, should I, you know, what do I want to do? What's life look like? Like, what does life look like in the future? And I started thinking about retirement a bit because Christine really wants me to think about that down the road. And I started thinking, well, is that what my life's about now? Like, retirement? Like, is that what I'm shooting for? And I want to slow down. Like, I don't want to work, you know, as long, like 60 hours a week for the rest of my life. I'm happy to slow down a bit. But I started thinking about, so if I decide to retire, then is that home plate for me? Is that what I'm shooting for? Is that what I'm sliding into? And I'm thinking, no, I don't want that to be that. I'm thinking about a longer-term goal. And we started this year talking about enjoying the journey. And when we started talking about that, I said, well, one of the things we need to do is raise our gaze, right? We need to lift our eyes up. We need to think about our eternal home and our eternal goal. And really, my eternal goal, my big slide into home plate, call or done kind of moment is when I pass from this life to the next and I stand before Jesus and hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So that's my goal, right? Standing before Jesus and have Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So when I got back, I was kind of excited about that. And I really never thought about the consequences of what I was saying. I was talking to someone, and they were sharing some of the things they were looking forward to. And I said, you know what I'm really looking forward to? I'm really looking forward to passing from this life to the next and standing in front of Jesus and just hearing Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And they're like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm great. Because if I would have said, hey, I'm really looking forward to retirement, they'd be like, yeah, that's awesome. You should look forward to that. That's going to be great. It's going to be a good time for you. Right? But when I put the goal out there to say, well, I'm looking forward to really passing from this life to the next being with Jesus, that doesn't mean I want to do it today. But that's my ultimate goal. I don't want to live on this world forever. I don't know about you. I don't really like this world as much as, like, some people do. I like heaven. I'm looking forward to that way more than here. Right? Like, think of how awesome it's going to be. So that's my goal. Like, I just really can't wait to stand in front of Jesus. I really, like, I'm so excited about that. So when I'm thinking about that, I got to think about, so if my ultimate goal is to stand in front of Jesus and say, well, have him say, well done, well, I better do well, right? So what am I going to do? What kind of values am I going to put in place so that that goal that I have will actually come to pass someday? What is it that I'm going to set in place today so not only do I start well, but I finish well? Because I've seen lots of people blow up their lives when they're in their late 60s and 70s. I've seen families that stayed together and you thought they were good families. And then all of a sudden the kids get out of the house and they split up. And now there's hate between them. There's anger between them. The kids are being torn two ways. And I'm like, that's not life. That's not, like, you didn't do well. That's not the end goal. The end goal is to like finish well. And I'm not saying that anybody's been divorced and gone through. I'm not trying to put that down, but I'm just saying there's a lot of things we could set up in our life to prepare for our future so that we can really see God's glory climb, you know, played out in our life. So I want to just kind of give you a few ideas this morning, and then after this, we're just going to talk about, like, just things that we did in this series that we did that worked well for us so it could help you. And I'm not just talking about with raising kids. I'm just talking about being a family. So the first thing that you need to do, I think, if you're going to plan for your future and think about those things and set it out in your life, so is to put God in his kingdom first. That might sound cliche, it might sound like a really foundational truth, but how many of us are really putting God in his kingdom first? How many of us are really saying that really everything I have belongs to God? Everything that I am is because of God. The Bible says I think in Acts, it says, for in him we live, and in him we move, and in him we have our being. All of our life flows from God. And so we, God and his kingdom are the primary thing that we should have our life be about. Before we think about the golden handshake at 65, or we think about, you know, like our dreams about traveling around the world and our dreams to do this and our primary thing should be about putting God and his kingdom first. It says in Matthew 6, verse 31 to 34, it says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed, for the nations seek after these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall be anxious for its own things. Sufficient to the day is the evil of it. Life has a lot of things to worry about. Anybody notice that? There's a lot of things that can happen in life. I have found this, that life doesn't always play out the way I want. Anybody figure that out yet? Anybody have problems that you were expecting and that's only the problems you ever had were the ones that you were planning on? There's all kinds of things come up in life. You could be at top of the hill one day and bottom of the hill the next. Some days you could think that this ride is going good for the rest of my life. I've got it all figured out, but it doesn't. But the Bible said, don't worry about those things. I know that's easy to say when I don't have to worry about them at this moment, but I've had to worry about a lot of things in my life, and I've learned to trust God. So don't worry about those things. The Bible said, instead, seek God and his kingdom first. Seek God and his kingdom first, because it said if we do that, then all these other things will be taken care of. How many of you have been at a time in your life where things just seem like they couldn't get worse? Anybody? I've been there. How many of you look back at that time 2 or 3 years later and say it wasn't that bad? I learned some valuable things. I'm a stronger person, following God stronger now than I ever have. Because a lot of times we're right in the moment. Seems like it's overwhelming, but if you trust God, he'll carry you through. life has a lot of things that are for us to worry about. But you're best served to seek God first. He knows what you need. God knows what you need. And He wants to take care of you. He actually loves you. If you didn't know that before, I want to tell you today, God loves you more than you love yourself. God cares about you and your wife or your husband. He cares more about your kids than you do. He cares more about your parents than you do. He cares more about, you know, the whole situation you're in than you do. He really cares for you. He loves you. And He wants His best for you. He wants that for you. He cares about you, and He wants to take care of you. But He's telling you, first put My kingdom first. Put My kingdom first. So when you don't know what job to take, right, or if you should take the job that's being offered to you, what should you do? Seek God. Seek His kingdom first, right? When your family's falling apart, when it seems like the kids that were so sweet to you yesterday, now you're feeling like you've lost connection with them and you can't connect with them anymore, right? When you're feeling that way, seek God's kingdom first. When you're worried about your kids because they're living in a way that you don't approve and you've seen these bad places and you know it's going to be bad for them and you don't know what to do, the Bible says seek His kingdom first. Seek God and His kingdom first. When, you know, a doctor gives you a bad report and you don't know what to do about it, you don't know what's next, first seek God and seek His kingdom. And the Bible says He'd take care of all the rest. That's an easy thing to say. It's more challenging to carry it out. But seek God first and seek His kingdom first. So if we're going to seek God's kingdom first, what is God's kingdom? What is it? Because it's kind of like, right? But so, Merriam-Webster's dictionary says this is what kingdom is. It is the eternal kingship of God, the realm in which God's will is fulfilled, the realm wherein God's will is. So, very simply in our everyday language today, it really is about doing things God's way. It's God's will, God's way. We talked about this a lot over the years, but God wants His will done His way. And not because He's doing some kind of weird experiment on us, and He's saying, well, let's try this. This might work. Let's see how it plays out. Oh, oops, that didn't work. No, God, He knows who you are. He has a plan for your life, and it's the best plan for your life. And He just wants you to walk in it because it'd be the best thing for you. He gave us His word, you know. And I know a lot of people, you know, once you get the New Testament, they say, well, the Old Testament was the law and it's not good. But really, the law was fine. The law was all right. David, you know, spent all of Psalm 119 is the longest. But he spent all of 119 talking about how wonderful God's law is. So God was good when He gave us His word. And He gave us His word so we can know Him and we can live the life He planned for us, right? So if we're going to live God's will, God's way, we have to pick up God's word because it shows how to live God's will, God's way, right? So we need to, like, just take the time and make it the focus of our life. So I was thinking about this because I'm just doing marriage counseling right now for Jarrett and Shannon and, you know, Tim and Amanda just got married a couple weeks ago. And congratulations, guys. So I'm thinking about, you know, like when you have a wedding, do you know what those things cost nowadays? Do you know how much people spend on a wedding? Like, it's an unbelievable amount of money. They invest so much time, so much energy. Like, I hear this because I do marriage counseling and every, you know, the bride is always at some point going to complain because everybody isn't doing enough, right? There's so much work to get done, and people got to help me, right? So there's not only a lot of money involved, but there's a lot of work involved. And we'll spend so much money and so much work on a one-day event, right? And I always say to couples, make sure you'll invest as much in your marriage as you will in your wedding. Right? But let's also make sure we invest as much in being believers as we invest in anything else or more. Right? Like, let's invest time into learning how to walk out God's will, God's way. Let's invest some of our resources, right? Buy some good books. Learn some good things. Study and figure it out. You know what? Look around you. Find somebody who's doing life well and say, hey, could I buy you a coffee, or could I take you out for dinner and just talk to you and ask you some questions? Like, spend some resources, spend some time, spend some energy on building a life, on building God's kingdom, on building what God's called us to do and to be. So the second thing I want you to think about as we do this series is, what do you want your family to look like? What is it that you want your family to look like? Many people don't like the way things look for their family, but they never really take the time to figure out what their family should be like, what their home culture should be like, what kind of atmosphere there should be in their home, what kind of expectations you have for each person. Like, what do you want your home to look like? In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, he is blessed. It says in Habakkuk 2, verse 2, it says, then the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it clear on tablets so that anyone can read it quickly. Have a vision for your family. Have a goal. I remember Aubrey's dad, Martin, preached a message 30 years ago, and one kind of line stuck out to me and stuck with me all these years. He said, if a ship leaves a port and it doesn't know where it's going, how will it know when it arrives? Right? And a lot of us are floating around life, and we don't really know where we're going. A lot of us have families, and we just kind of roll with the punches. Maybe even you started out with a little bit of a plan, but you got distracted. You got things kind of came at you, life happened, and you kind of got discouraged, and you said, well, I'm just going to go with the punches now. I'm just going to deal with everything as it comes up. I'm going to live one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. Right? Well, sometimes we do, just to survive. We live one day at a time, but we should be thinking out. We should be planning out. We should be praying out. We should be getting ready for our life. So, do you know where your family ship is going? Do you know where your family ship is going? Do you have a plan? I don't care if you're 8 or if you're 80. You should have a plan for your family. There's things that you should be talking about with your family. There should be things you're dreaming about with your family. There's things you should be leading your family into. Even if there are adults that are already like my age. Like my mom, she still sort of knows what she wants her family to look like. And she'll remind us every once in a while of what our family is about, right? And the grandkids all know that she'll sit down with them every once in a while and tell them what their life should be about too, right? Because we have kind of grew up with that idea. This is what we are as a family. This is what we do as a family. And so that's what we've tried to do as a couple, Christine and I, is to have an idea where we're going. Do you have a vision of what you want to look like as a family? What kind of culture you want in your home? I think that if you want... I think if you know what you want or expect in regards to your family, then it's more likely to have the result you desire. You know, like the old saying was, if you aim for the floor and hit the ceiling, I mean, if you aim for the sky and you hit the ceiling, it's better than aiming for the ceiling and hit the floor, right? Like, it's better to have a goal that's out there, but it's better to have a plan. So I remember when Christine and I got married. I remember when we made our vows in front of God in the church. We went to Dominican Republic for a week, and then we came home, and we went up to Manitoulin Island with Surgeon Wendy. And I remember we were sitting out at Providence Bay. Providence Bay is a beautiful little bay, big long boardwalk, and we were sitting on the stairs on the boardwalk. It was nighttime already, and mosquitoes were eating me alive. And we were looking out over the bay, and there was a lighthouse at the end of the bay. You see the light just shine. We're sitting talking about our future together, what we want our life to look like. And we said, that lighthouse there, shining light, you know, so everybody could see. We want our family to be about shining God's light to the world. We want our life to be about His kingdom. want our life to be about serving Him so people could see God's goodness and be drawn to it. When we had our sons, we talked about how we wanted to raise them to love the Lord. This is our goal, right? It's hard because we can't control people. If you're a parent that's trying to force your children to serve the Lord, it doesn't work. You've got to lead them. You've got to show them the goodness of God so they can see how good God is. So we wanted our kids to serve the Lord. That's what we want. That's our highest goal. If our kids don't serve the Lord, then I feel like we failed. Feel like, you know, life wasn't really worth, you know, because we want our kids to serve Jesus. If we're parents, that's what we want. Malachi says, what's the purpose of a godly marriage? To produce a godly offspring, right? And that's our goal. And I remember when the kids were little and we were in the hospital with them still, each one of them I took in my arms. I walked through the halls of the hospital. I sang over them, and they still love when I sing over them. It's awesome. They're like, Dad, shut up. Don't sing. It's not good. but I sang over them, and I committed them to the Lord, dedicated them to God in that hospital. And then when we came in front of the church, we dedicated our kids to Jesus because we wanted to serve God. We wanted them to serve God. We wanted to be a family that served God. And we drive around, you know, while we were expecting Levi, and when we had Levi, and then when we were expecting Logan, and we had Logan, and when they were fighting in the back of the car, and when they were, you know, all this stuff. And we dream about what our life would be like. We talk about how we want our kids to be respectful of their parents, and how we wanted them to respect other people, how we wanted them to be good men who serve God and who serve their families, that they would be good husbands and good fathers. And we prayed and we planned and we dreamed of what could be, you know. And we prayed and we dreamed and we planned that they would be, you know, people that were good workers, that they'd be a blessing to their workplace, and that they would do and do life well, and that they would live for the glory of God too. And, you know, we've had good times and we've had bad times. Life hasn't been perfect for us as a family. There's been times where we lost our way once in a while. And we had to just kind of stop and say, God, we repent. We want to live for you. We want to serve you. We want to follow you. There's been times where I've worried about myself. There's been times when I've worried about Christine. There's been times when I've worried about the kids. But we trust God. And life for us as a family, we planned it. We prayed into it. We have a goal, right? And my kids now are the age where they're going to, you know, fall in love and get married and have their own families, and they got to do this for themselves. But, like, our goal as a family is we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do that. We're going to do it well. And it ain't perfect, but it's pretty good. We have a good time. We laugh a lot. We have a lot of fun together. We care about people. We love people. My sons are good men. They love the Lord. They are respectful to others. And I'd like to say it was all because of me, but I really believe it's all because of God and His kingdom, because we sought Him and His kingdom first. Have a plan for your family. Figure out where you're going. If your kids are all grown now and you're a grandparent, I don't care, stop. Say, God, what do you want my family to look like? And just start working backwards, talking to them, sharing with them, helping them. This is worth it. I think it's really cool, you know, to look back on life now. I'm just enjoying the boys are 20 and 22, and we, you know, we sit around the house. Jen's been hanging around a bit lately, too, so that's kind of fun. But, you know, like, we sit around, and we just have a good time together, and we love each other. My kids still like hanging out with us once in a while. It's fun. And we have a plan to live for God. As for me and my house, Joshua 24:15 says, we will serve the Lord. Not because we forced anyone, but because we lived biblically as good as we could. And we put God's kingdom first. And we trust the Lord that He will keep His word as we do life His way. We need to trust God. We need to trust God. So I only have a few minutes left, so I'm just going to go on to my last point. I'm going to say this. I ask you this question. What values do you carry as a family? What do you value? What are the non-negotiables in your family life? What is it that you really think is important enough to just kind of speak it out and plan it? So after you have a vision, after you've looked to the end of your yard and you're heading toward the goal, it's really easy to become distracted and lose sight of what you started going after. Life happens so fast. Life is challenging you every day. There's so many things going on. It's easy to get knocked off track. So you need to set up some guardrails to keep your focus. And those guardrails really are your values. So what do you value? I think family values help so much. So what are the things your family values? What are the things that are non-negotiable in your family? I'm just going to give you a few of ours. First thing, we're stewards. As a family, we are stewards of God's stuff. Like, we don't own anything. Everything we have belongs to God. So Christine and I were talking. I might have said this last week, but if I did, forgive me. We were talking a little while ago. And just talking about, like, you know, if God called us to sell everything and, you know, start over and do missions or do something like that, I said, we'd do it, right, hon? She said, yeah, we would, but I don't want to talk about it, right? But that's our life together. We've decided a long time ago everything we have belongs to God. So that means that it's not right for me to worry about my stuff because it isn't my stuff, right? My kids belong to the Lord. I told you the story when, you know, after Dad died, and I was in India, and I was, like, laying in my bed at night, and I heard a voice say to me, I'm going to kill your kids. I'm like, I was nervous already, because, like, when I was on a mission trip 2 years before, that's when my dad died, and I was so far away, and I had to come back, and it was hard. So here I am, the other side of the world, the quickest I could probably get back is 2 days. And I, you know, I feel this kind of, you know, spiritual pressure to say, I'm going to kill your kids. And God reminded me of me walking down the hallway in the hospital with the boys and giving them to him. He said, they're mine. I said, hey, devil, those kids belong to God. If you want to talk to him about it, go ahead and talk to him. But they're not mine. They belong to the Lord. You'll have to deal with God on this issue because they're his. I'm a steward. Right? When I'm a steward, it's easy for me to give things away. When God says give it away, I give it away because I'm his steward, right? So we give away, you know, money. We do that, but we give away time. I got to sit with probably 3 or 4 people this week that were struggling through some stuff. I actually, when I booked my Dominican trip, I met a lady at the gas station in Dunville Tire, and she ended up being a travel agent. So I said, hey, I'll book my trip for you. And while we were talking, I found out her mother got cancer. So I got to pray with her about her mother. And I was in my office this Thursday morning, and she called, and I thought she was just calling to see how her trip went. But she called and said, I didn't know who to talk to. Because my dad was in the hospital yesterday for 7 hours, and he was diagnosed with cancer now, too. And I just didn't know who to talk to. Can I talk to you? I'm a steward. Right? And we give our life as a glory to God, to serve others, to care about others. And we're praying for her parents. We're asking God to help her family. And I'm believing God that she's going to come into a closer relationship with God than she's ever been, and her parents are going to too. Right? We give our life away. We give our time away. Because it doesn't belong to us anyway. We serve the Lord. Our life is his. So when we're stewards, it does away with the whole thing about ownership. A lot of times we fight, right, as families, because we have our rights. You hurt my feelings. I have a right to be angry. No, you don't have a right. I'm a steward. My rights belong to the Lord. Right? So the second thing is we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. We're going to do relationships well. When someone gets something good, we're going to be happy for them. We're not going to be jealous. We're not going to be angry. We're not going to say, God, why not us? It's our turn. We're going to know. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be happy. We're going to throw a party in their honor, because we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. Like when that lady called me the other day, my heart broke for her. Because I just went with Mom through what she went through with Nick last year, and I know how hard that is. And that was one person, but two people, and she's the primary caregiver. And I was like, boy, that's hard. I really feel sorry for you. Shed a tear for her. When I pray for her now, those of you that are on the prayer chain would have got it. It's for Alfred and the woman, I don't remember her name right now, Beverly. They need healing. They need that, right? So, but like, we weep with those who weep. So, not only is our stuff submitted to God and given to God, our attitudes are committed to God and given to God, right? Like, so our attitudes belong to the Lord. So we're gonna do our best to serve. We're gonna do our best to shine. We're gonna do our best to love people in their good times and their bad times, because we are stewards and we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. And we're gonna do our best with what has been given to us. So we're gonna leave it all on the field every day. When we go to work, we're gonna do our best. We're gonna go out there. We're gonna work hard. We're gonna be tired at the end of the day because we gave it our best, right? We're gonna try our best. I remember when the kids came home from school with a mark from a test, and they were really bright kids. So like they'd come home and say, "I got a 90." I say, "You do your best?" "No, not really." Right? "Well, that's not good enough. Do better." But if they came home with a mark of 60 and I said, "Did you do your best?" And they said, "Yeah," I said, "Well, that's awesome." Right? Because we do our best. We give it our best. Our lives belong to the Lord. The Lord deserves our best. Right? So those are some of the things that we do as values. God's number one in our family. He's number one. We live for Jesus. That's what we do. I don't know how to do anything outside of that anymore. Honestly. Like, I mean, We went through a hard year last year, and sometimes I was frustrated and tired, and I didn't really feel like doing anything. But then I just started thinking about Jesus and his love, and I just couldn't stop. Right? So we live for Jesus. I really want your families to do well, but you got to build it right. You got to start at a good foundation. If you're sitting here this morning, you feel like, well, I kind of let that happen, and I didn't really do my best. And this morning, I just say, you know, as I'm praying here this morning in a minute, just ask God to forgive you. He will. The Bible said if we pray and ask God to forgive us, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you feel like there's someone in your family you need to repent to, then go to them and say, "Hey, I didn't do my best, but I love you and I want to do my best in the future. Let's just start over." And if you're really, really in a bad place, you know, pray, get some help, get some wisdom from others. And just build something great. I really believe that family is really the key to changing a world. Right? When we do family well, our churches get healthy. We have healthy churches, our community gets healthy. When we have a healthy community, our nation, our province does better than our nation. And then the whole world can be changed. But we've got to start at the building block. So Lord, today we come. And Lord, there's a lot of things about life that are hard. There's a lot of things about life that are challenging. Lord, relationships are complex, Lord. You know, raising kids is a challenge, Lord. Sometimes it's just so fun, and then other times they become teenagers and it becomes so weird. And Lord, you know, we just want your wisdom, Lord, but help us to build foundational things well. Lord, help us to seek first your kingdom, your glory, your way of doing things. Lord, help us to build some values in behind that and to have a vision for what you have a vision for our families, Lord. I just pray that you'll bless each one here. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you'll just do a great work, Lord, in each one. And, Lord, that you'll speak to their hearts about the things they heard this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.